Join Sam and Will as they bring the Bible's stories to life through historical evidence and try not to feel out of place in a car garage, all while bringing you Under the Hood.
Welcome to Under the Hood. I'm your host, Will. I'm here alongside Sam. Sam, what are we talking about today?
So today we're going to be talking about one potential explanation for how the worldwide flood came about in the days of Noah. And it's going to be a meteoric explosion that happened in the world that would have had cataclysmic impacts and that scholars believe happened in the last 6,000 years.
And that does seem wild at first, and this is one of the wilder ones. But if you go back to one of our older videos about Sodom and Gomorrah, we already do believe that that event was caused by a meteor coming down to Earth. So for us, yeah, this is just another meteor.
Well, even scholarship and a lot of the nationwide media picked that up, and they said Sodom, the whole story of Sodom can be explained by this meteor that exploded over the Dead Sea. So in this case, we have another one, but a far, far greater impact that takes place in what's called the Burkle Crater. And this is something that scholarship has been looking into. So when we share this, this isn't coming from Brother Ed's shack where he put together a theory. This is Columbia University. This is Drexel University scholars from the Los Alamos National Laboratory. So they did the research on this, and they put together a paper with a lot of what they believe happened as a result of the Burkle Crater, and I want to interpret this and imagine this through the lens of a worldwide flood.
All right, so where do we start?
Well, let's start at the Burkle Crater. So the Burkle Crater's in the Indian Ocean. It's off the coast of Madagascar, and when they went down there, they found that on the floor of the ocean, there's an 18-mile-wide crater where a meteor slammed into the earth, leaving a huge gouge in the earth.
That's pretty big.
That is pretty big. And what's crazy about it is this is 2 miles underneath the surface of the Indian Ocean. So a massive impact off the coast of Madagascar. And what they determined, listen to what they say, that it yielded a cataclysmic 600-foot tall super tsunami around 2800 BC that left sedimentary chevrons, I'll explain that in a moment, and the coastlines of all the surrounding territories. In addition, it caused an eclipse of superheated water vapor, catastrophic flooding, and torrential storms. And so I want you to imagine this. You've got a crater that is 18 miles wide, 2 miles deep, that sends 600-foot tsunamis out to all of these coastlands. Now, the force necessary to create the Burkle Crater, just imagine this, is 2 million megatons of TNT, or 2 trillion tons of TNT right at the base of the ocean that just explodes. It would be the equivalent of 20 million nuclear bombs exploding in one location and imagining what comes out of that in terms of the force of sending these tsunamis out. This is a big deal.
Yeah, that's pretty insane to think that many nuclear warheads going off creates this.
Yeah, that at least this many. And so what they discovered when they find the crater, they look around at all the coastlands and they kind of start drawing lines from the Burkle Crater going out to the coastlands of Madagascar, the coastlands of Australia, and all over the place. And what they find is these massive chevrons that you see all over these coastlands. Where, what is a chevron? Like you think, you know, the gas company comes to a V and it's called chevron. Well, when water runs up against a coastline and it goes back out to sea when it comes out, you know how the water runs together and it leaves those little triangles as it rushes back into the water? You find massive chevrons on the Australian coastline. Like there's places where you can, from a satellite view, where you can see that massive amounts of water have left. It looks like water just smeared the whole coastland. You see that in Madagascar, where look at this 600-foot tall chevron, where the water rushed in and then rushed out, leaving 600-foot tall chevrons. And so these are all over the coastlands of where this water rushed in. So now we go to the next part of this. So you imagine 600-foot tsunamis that go out, right? But in addition to this, when it hits the earth, when it comes and smashes in to the water, the heat of this meteor or comet, whatever caused this, is so hot that they say it instantly vaporized 46.7 trillion cubic meters of water that just whoosh, and where does all that go? It goes up into the atmosphere. And what they say would have resulted would have been an impact winter where the sun would have gone dark. Clouds would have been generated. Massive super hurricanes filled with all of this water vapor suddenly go out and covers the whole planet. And it would have been unbelievable storms. The clouds would have been far thicker than normal. You have the tsunamis that have already covered everything. But beyond that, when this thing slams down into and leaves this crater, there's evidence down there that of what's called ejecta, which means that underneath the surface of the Indian Ocean, the impact is so great that we have elements of the mantle layer and the crust layer from beneath that burst forth, right? Nickel melts at 2,651 degrees Fahrenheit, and we find molten nickel that's melted onto fossils. We find other ejecta that's coming up out of the mantle and crust layers down on the seafloor. We find fossils from the seafloor that are in all these chevrons that are created everywhere. And so that begs the question, like if the Bible says that the springs of the great deep burst forth, and that's what caused it, along with the heavens opening up, like some great cataclysmic, powerful pressure, high-intensity heat has to go crush the crust and mantle layer for those plumes to then eject water. And so one of the things that they theorize, and this is probably a good theory, is that when this meteor slams at this point, it's not alone. It's not alone. In fact, there would have been multiple impact locations all around, and we just haven't found these other craters yet. But so, for example, when there was a comet that came around Jupiter, and we're talking about within the last few decades, that came around Jupiter. The gravitational pull of Jupiter pulled it into its orbit, and this comet split apart into 21 different pieces, orbited Jupiter for a little while, and then slammed into the southern hemisphere. What if what created the Burkle crater came through the Earth's orbit, got stuck, and when it started slamming all over the Earth, you have multiples of these things. Now imagine the tsunamis that cover. Imagine the superheated water vapor and the super hurricanes and the impacts on the mantle and the crust layer that would have dramatically changed the Earth about 6,000 years ago, they believe.
And that makes a lot of sense because, as the Bible describes, it's the water coming from the Earth that matters. So something that hits this hard with so much power that the mantle and the crust is wide open.
Yeah, the springs of the deep burst forth. The other thing is Noah's told to bring in the birds. Like, why do the birds need to be in an ark? Like, they can float on the waters, they can fly around in the sky. Like, this is saying that the environmental changes that would have happened with this winter that's caused by the sun being blocked for long periods of time and all the impacts of meteoric strikes on the Earth. And we're talking within the last 6,000 years. Now, this helps me to go, wait a minute. The impact that we're going to see is cooling, change in climate. We're going to see water that rises and tremendous rainstorms. And all of a sudden, it's right during this time period that not only would you expect to find Noah and the surviving of the ark, but all of a sudden, all over the globe, what do you find? You find these stories of a great flood that comes. And all of a sudden, in Mesopotamia, you get floods, and all over the world, and in China, there's these stories of floods that just inundated the world in a massive, catastrophic way. Massive cities that date to some of the most ancient cities that we've ever uncovered in archaeology show evidences that they were covered with 11 feet of silt in some cases in the Sumerian, the Fertile Crescent. So you see this massive amount of evidence, not only in the archaeological record that dates back 5,000 to 6,000 years, but also you see all these stories that come from all of these cultures that say something happened, there was a great flood, and here's our story to explain it. And all of it lines up to this time period.
And these are real institutions that found all this. This is not just some guy hoping this is true.
Yeah, so the thing that I just said, listen to the paper that was produced by these scholars. the dating well matches modeling from an environmental analysis of 175 worldwide flood myths that yielded a date around 2800 BC based on astronomical and archaeological evidence. So you have these people from Columbia and the other scholars that are like, yeah, this matches. The time period, everything seems to be aligning. Let me read to you the conclusion from their paper. Like, this is not me, this is not Will, this is these scholars. They say, we have strong evidence for at least one large oceanic impact, at least one, event during the Holocene time. That's a period. The event produced the Burkle Crater and its ejecta layer, the stuff that shoots up from the crust and mantle. It may also have produced numerous subsidiary craters that are too small to see with our present data. We infer that the Burkle Crater impact was part of a Shoemaker-Levy type impact of a comet, which vaporized enough seawater to produce a global deluge. Let me repeat that. Which vaporized enough seawater to produce a global deluge. It also produced mega tsunamis in many parts of the world. An expanded sample of the deluge myths, additional study of the Burkle Crater sites, studies of potential mega tsunami locations, and the search for contemporaneous craters in the Pacific will help refine and validate our inferences. But this is where they're starting. They're still researching this. But some of the stuff that has come back from this is stunning. So less than 6,000 years, massive amounts of water that's thrown up into the sky, super hurricanes, mega tsunamis. When we talk about the impact, what scientists believe the impact that killed the dinosaurs, you know what that was, right? It was another meteor that slammed into the Yucatan Peninsula. And what did it do? It sent up plumes into the sky that created this god-awful winter in which nothing could survive. This same sort of event, when it hits the water and it sends up these great plumes of water vapor rather than dust, the impact of the winter isn't as long as it would have been, and the meteor impact, you know, back then was much larger. But this would have been an extinction-level type event that we see that fits what we find in the Bible. Also in the paper, I'd mentioned earlier, like, the fossil evidence that they're finding on the coastlands. This is from Abbott, who's one of the people from Colombia. He says, the chevrons in Madagascar, so remember those 600-foot-high chevrons, associated with the crater were filled with melted microfossils from the bottom of the ocean, right? So the impact sends these tsunamis. It says there is no explanation for their presence other than a cosmic impact. People are going to have to start taking this theory a lot more seriously. So how in the world do you get fossils from the floor of the Indian Ocean that are now on the top of 600-foot-high chevrons? What would cause something that violent to create so much upheaval to where you can explain marine fossils on the top of chevrons from water pressure and tsunamis, which is clearly what they are? It's fascinating when you consider this. Could God have done it another way? Absolutely, 100%. Is this theory interesting? It's very interesting to me because I can see all of the elements of the flood hypothesis. Like, let's say all my skeptical bones, like, did this really happen, you know, within the last 6,000 years? Man, this seems to produce so many of the things that you would imagine necessary for a worldwide flood of cataclysmic proportions.
Yeah, and just the evidence that they're finding in the earth of something like this happening is absolutely astounding.
I 100% agree. So again, going back to their comments, for about a week, now, of course, they're not coming at this from a Genesis perspective, right? But listen to what they say on their own. For about a week, material ejected into the atmosphere plunged the world into darkness. All told, this is their projections. All told, up to 80% of the world's population may have perished, making it the single most lethal event in history. So they're talking about an extinction-level event. What is it that Genesis produces? This would be extinction were it not for the grace of God.
And that's really who our God is, right? This extinction-level event. But he sees Noah, who's blameless before him, says, no, I'm going to save your family, and through you, all of humanity is going to come. And eventually, because I've saved you, Noah, my son is going to have to come to earth, be born of a woman, suffer and die and be resurrected so that you guys can find life.
That's right. And he becomes the ark for the next worldwide judgment. So God has promised he's never going to flood the earth again. But there is going to come a day where there's going to come a judgment, an extinction level event known as the apocalypse, right? The judgment of God is coming. And Jesus has come to be our ark. And how do you find sanctuary? How do you find salvation from that day? You find it in him. He's the ark. And so if you're watching this, we want to invite you, take refuge in Christ. He's the ark from the next judgment.
Amen.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for watching. Join us next time as we go under the hood of another story in the Bible.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. We'd love you check out some other content we have. You can find that at sunlitstudios.com.